Well, praise the Lord. Good to see everybody this morning. And I was thinking as they sang that song, He'll give you everything. Of course, we need to define what that everything is. It doesn't mean Cadillacs and mansions and in this world, but He certainly has given us everything. Praise the Lord. That, you know, last week we emphasized the foundation of the gospel, Christ and Him crucified. And the thing that I had felt to emphasize was that it wasn't just what so many think of as simply God, through Christ, wiping away the guilt of our sins and giving us a free pass, as it were, but rather it has to do with real power, because every person born into this world is born under the power of Satan and sin. And we are in a prison, and we need a Savior who has the power to set us free. And the freedom that we have in Christ is not the freedom to sin and have it all wiped away. The freedom is the freedom from sin. And it's a progressive work that He does. I'm so thankful that when Jesus came, He did win the battle, didn't He? He absolutely emerged from all of it with the victory. Remember, He said to His disciples, and this is interesting to me that He said this before He went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray so intensely, and before He went to the cross. And just paraphrase, He said, in the world you will have trouble, but cheer up, I have overcome the world. Praise God. What a statement of faith and confidence in His Father's plan to just at every point, not my will but yours be done. And when He carried out the Father's plan, everything fell into place. Praise God. And He came forth from the tomb with the keys of death and hell. All authority in heaven and earth was given to Him. And praise God, He won a tremendous victory, not just for Himself, but for all who cast their lot 100% with Him. That's what the gospel is about. It's about choosing sides for eternity, completely. One way or the other, we're either going to serve ourselves in this world, or we're going to break free and trust in what He did. But He gave us everything, didn't He? A tremendous inheritance that He was given and is to share with us. So praise God. You know, it's interesting how varied our spiritual experience can be. I think those of you who serve the Lord any length of time, you know what I'm talking about. You know, we have our ideas about if I do this, this will happen. And we try to reduce the Christian life to almost a set of formulas and principles, and it's supposed to work out this way or that way. And sometimes we'll come out of a service and just be, praise God, everything, just a sense of freedom and joy, and it's just, boy, the Lord's been here, isn't this wonderful what He's done for us? And then other times you go out and, was that really the Lord? What's going on? Why do I feel so weak? Why do I have this sense of oppression? What's going on? Did I do something wrong? It's a walk of faith. But you know, when I was coming away from the service, I felt wiped out for one thing. And I didn't have that sense of, oh boy, that was wonderful. The Lord was with us and helped us. And that was really going to help the people. And I came away feeling kind of heavy and kind of burdened down. And you know, the thought came to me, if the enemy is opposing this that much, you think just maybe this is because he's feeling threatened? The one thing he knows is what Christ accomplished. It's not a mystery to him. He knows that he lost the war. And so he's going to do everything in his power while we are still here in this particular world trying to oppose. And so we shouldn't be upset or wonder if something is wrong when he does. And of course, you know, when you're already feeling tired and then the devil comes and he pours stuff in your mind, oh, did I miss the Lord? Was that wrong? Did I do something wrong and I'm getting punished for it? Now, no one here's ever thought that, right? If I don't feel exhilarated, then something is wrong. Where in the Bible are we promised a life of exhilaration and just wonderful, glorious feelings all the time? You know, it's almost like I think we sometimes get the idea that if things are right, we're doing everything right, we have the right relationship with God, we should be in this place of bliss, joy, freedom. Everything is just wonderful. But it just isn't that way. You know, Paul was certainly a man who served the Lord and accomplished amazing things. And yet when he was discussing and laying out his experience and what he'd been through in order to do what he did to the Corinthian church, one of the things he said, besides all the outward troubles, he said, fightings without and fears within. So I'm struggling. The devil's constantly oppressing me with every kind of thought that he can come up with. And I have to contend with this, and I have to somehow handle it in order to do what God's put before me to do. Folks, that's the Christian life. Now, that doesn't mean that we're thrown out here into the battle and left on our own to see how we'll do. But the reality is, serving God is going to have to come against real opposition. There are real battles that have to be fought. There's a reason why Paul, based upon his own knowledge and experience, wrote to Timothy like he did. And he talked about all the ways, he enumerated some of the ways that the enemy was going to come in and try to undermine what God was doing in lives. Okay? And toward the end of, in the middle of chapter 6, he's talking about the pull of money, for example. That there are actually people, imagine that, who think that serving God is a pathway to earthly riches. Boy, do we see that in many places. The so-called prosperity gospel. Serve God, get in the right relationship with Him, and just have enough faith, and everything from the earthly standpoint will just straighten right out, and you'll be healthy, wealthy, and all that. And is that the truth? No, that's a lie from hell. Now, God can bless, but that has nothing to do with our standing before God or His purpose in our life. We serve Him regardless. Praise God. The love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. So, you know, the devil is going to appeal to us through any kind of earthly value, any kind of earthly desire that may be particular to us. And if he can get us to kind of agree with that earthly idea and that earthly value, then he's got a hole, doesn't he? And, you know, we need help. But anyway, Paul exhorts Timothy in chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, but in contrast to what the devil has done to tempt and to trap and lead people away, but you, man of God, flee from all this, run. This is not a casual thing to deal with. Flee from all this and pursue. So we're running from something and we're pursuing something else. All right? Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. All of these qualities that simply are not natural to us. But he's saying, run toward those things, lay hold of them. And of course, he uses that language in what he's about to say. Fight. Fight the good fight of the faith. Thank God it's not the fight of the law, is it? Oh, this is the fight of faith, meaning my confidence is not in anything that I've got. My confidence is in what Jesus did. But having that confidence and laying hold is not a matter of, okay, it's all mine, I can just sit in the easy chair. There are some battles that have to be fought. And the Lord wants us to, there's nothing new we're saying here, but this is something that I needed to be reminded of this week. I mean, why was I feeling like I was? Was something wrong? And the Lord reminded me, no, the devil doesn't like the truth of the power of the gospel, does he? And the whole point of that truth was that God wants to bring that power to bear upon our individual needs and lives. He wants to demonstrate His power, not by just signs and wonders alone, and that He can do that when that's appropriate, but the demonstration He wants, as we pointed out, was the demonstration in our lives where God is able to set us free from this and that and whatever the need is. He can actually make a difference by entering our lives, taking over, and then imputing to us power, giving us power that makes an actual difference in our lives. And God, so God can say, look at what I did for them. Praise God. That's what we all need. God wants to do, is doing that in our lives, one way or another. But the thing is, it doesn't happen without the fight, does it? Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So the fight is to lay hold. And you know, we see in the Old Testament many examples and pictures in a natural sense of spiritual truth that we need to learn from. Now, the last line of that song that was just sung was, He'll give you everything. Has Christ given us everything? Yeah, it's ours. Those who truly, I'm going to say sign up, whatever it is, whatever you want to say, those who truly renounce their affiliation with the devil and the world and lay hold of him and say, you're my Lord, I'm serving you, come regardless. If I die for it, I'm yours. I'll tell you, our inheritance is everything. There's so much more than we can even begin to imagine. Okay? But the picture that comes to mind is that of the Israelites. Now, the Israelites were promised what? A land, wasn't it? The land of Canaan. God had set that apart and he gave them the boundaries of what it was meant to be theirs. But the thing is, he said, I've given it to you. The NIV doesn't translate it exactly that way, but it says, I will give you, but the sense of it is, yeah, it's yours. When a God who cannot lie promises something, it's yours. Praise God. So I will give you, or I have given you, every place where you set your feet. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua at the beginning of Joshua. Moses has now just passed off the scene. And it's time for Joshua to step up and take that place of leadership. But the thing is, there was a land that God had already given them, but what? There were giants there. They had to fight for it. That land was already in the possession of an enemy who didn't want them to have it. You suppose there might be just a little bit of a lesson and a picture that we need to pay attention to? Oh, yeah. There's a devil that doesn't want you and me to possess what Christ has given us. And if we're going to do it, there's going to have to be some fighting. We're going to have to be able to stand up and make choices when the devil comes with this and so forth. We need the Lord, don't we? All right? But I was encouraged as I read what the Lord said to them. He defined their territory. Then he says, as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. Never leave you nor forsake you. Praise God. You think that was only to Joshua? That's repeated in the New Testament for every single believer. Whatever he calls upon us to overcome, to endure, he is going to be with us in the battle. The Lord never sent them into a battle where they were looking to him, where they were alone. Always there was another army. You remember how Joshua, I think it was in chapter 6, something like that, and they were getting ready to conquer Jericho. And Joshua goes out and he's, I don't know what he was praying, meditating, what, but all of a sudden he saw this man with a sword in his hand. And he said, are you for us or are you for our enemies? You get the sense, this is unusual. What in the world is going on? This is supernatural. I better find out what's going on here. And the answer is interesting. Neither. I'm here as captain of the Lord's host. In other words, there was another army that was unseen. How many of you realize that in the battles that you and I are called to fight, there's an unseen army that fights with us? Yes, our enemies are unseen. They include the kingdom of darkness. But there is an unseen army that fights with us. We are never alone. Even when we are allowed to feel that we may be alone, we are not. Thank God. So anyway, he encourages them, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. He sounds repetitive, doesn't he? I think the Lord may be needing to get this across to us. And then he's, be careful to obey all that I told Moses. So he goes into the word and the covenant. We've got a covenant that's a whole lot better than theirs. Our covenant is not about just a distant God we relate to through priests and prophets and all of that. This covenant, in this covenant, every believer knows him. We all have that relationship with him. Everyone knows him, from the least to the greatest. Thank God. But there is truth that God wants us to fill our hearts and our minds with, because if we don't think what this word says, we're going to be thinking what the world puts in there, what the devil puts in there, and we're going to have a hard time. Praise God. All right? And so he encourages them to follow the word, go by that. Verse 9, have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. That's at least three times he says the same thing. You think maybe there's a need for that? It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Now, I'm confident that I'm talking to spiritual giants here, that no one here has ever been afraid or discouraged. Well, I confess that I was fighting some of that off. Not afraid so much as, boy, that was a waste of time. That didn't really accomplish anything. Where were you, Lord? What's going on? You ever come through something like that, and you're at the end of a battle and you're fighting, and then it feels like that? Yeah. God puts us through, allows us to go through all kinds of experiences, all kinds of different scenarios. And in every one, what he's looking for is for us to stand fast and trust him and look to him and believe what he says. And obviously the Lord was looking ahead and realizing there are going to be times when you're going to be looking up and you're going to be seeing giants among the soldiers. You're going to be seeing walled cities. You're going to be seeing situations that in the natural you're not going to have a chance. But I don't want you to look at that and go by that. Don't go by what things look like and how they feel. Go by my promise, and I will be with you. And there's another army fighting here, and you're going to win in every case when you look to me. Okay? Because I've given you this. Don't ever forget that. This is yours. There are things that God has given to us that he wants us to take hold of. The only way we're going to win them is in the field of battle. Don't be surprised when the devil just jumps all over you and pushes your buttons to try to hinder you from having the confidence and the courage to step forward and claim what Christ has given to us. Praise God. I sure hope I'm listening to this. You know, the Lord has us all in the same battle, doesn't he? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Those are areas where the enemy knows he can get a handle if we're not careful. Okay? Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Oh my God, help us to lay hold of that simple truth. You know, one of the things that I was thinking of in this connection is the scripture, and I'm not going to turn to it right now, where Paul likens the battles that we are in to wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. And I was athletic when I was young, but wrestling was not part of it. I was never a wrestler. I think the last time I even did anything that resembled wrestling was probably a high school gym class, and that didn't resemble it very much. But anyway, I know we have some wrestlers here, and you know what it's about. Now, we think of wrestling as about strength. You know, I work out, and I'm strong, and my opponent is strong. Let's see who's stronger. A lot more to it than that, isn't there? There is what Paul calls strategy. And one of the ways that a wrestler will overcome their opponent is by studying them and trying to figure out their weaknesses and then concocting a move, a way of approaching them that leads them to give in to that weakness so that they can get an advantage. They can get the upper hand and take advantage of that. If I do this, they're going to do this, and then I get to do that. It's all, there's a plan, there's a strategy. Boy, does the enemy like to do that with us. Anybody notice that when you think about it? Does he know how to push your buttons? Does he know how to get you in a vulnerable place? Now, obviously, just getting physically tired is one of them. That's why Paul says, don't be weary in well-doing. And, of course, Isaiah, the scripture we use so often, everybody gets weary. Even youths will get weary, but those who wait on the Lord, those who hope in the Lord, will do what? Renew their strength. See, part of the battle, it's a warfare of faith, where when I get weary and the devil begins to put all the negative thoughts in my mind, I'm not supposed to just say, oh, that's the way it is. I did something wrong, so this is my lot. Oh, poor me. I need to say, Lord, you've allowed me to get in a weak place, but you've reminded me that if that's the time I need to be lifting my heart and looking to you. Even if I don't feel this inrush of energy, Lord, I know you're going to give me the strength to put one foot in front of another and just trust you to bring me through. Because battles are not short things necessarily. But anyway, so you got this strategy the enemy employs, and he knows if I can produce this circumstance in this person's life, I know how they're going to react. They're going to get mad. And boy, I'm going to get in the middle of that, and I'm going to just direct their energy, all of that angry energy at somebody or something, and they're just going to be forgetting all about the Lord. It's all going to be them acting and reacting. You see the analogy to wrestling? The enemy knows how to work in us and how to bring about circumstances where he knows how we're going to react. May God help us to learn and to look to him and say, Lord, teach me. Because that's not how I'm supposed to handle life. If Jesus had reacted to all the things that were said and done to him and said about him in a human way, it would have been a very different result, wouldn't it? He was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. And where Timothy is instructed to reach out for these spiritual qualities that are ours, they belong to us. We don't have to react like a normal human being to every situation, to any situation. We have the right to say, Lord, you have allowed this circumstance in my life. And I lay it at your feet. Oh, Lord, help me to handle this in a way that pleases you. You've allowed this battle, but you're with me in it. Help me to stand upon your word. Help me to just take my place and look to you. There's so many scriptures I thought about, and I just want to just trust the Lord to bring them to. Let's just go ahead and go to Ephesians chapter 6. I know we've used this a number of times, but this is probably the right place to be right now. And I just make a quick emphasis upon certain aspects of this. Of course, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able. This is what it takes to be able to stand against the devil's schemes. This wrestler that we're wrestling against has got all kinds of tricks up his sleeve. He'll faint this way and cause you to react and react in that way, and then he gets an advantage. He made me tired, and he gained just a little bit of advantage until the Lord helped me to realize, hey, wait a minute. One of the reasons you're feeling this way is the devil's upset. He's afraid of the power of God. He doesn't want the people to get it. Am I the only one that felt that reaction a little bit when that truth came out? If we could say, oh, we're preaching about the power, we ought to see it, we ought to feel it, something ought to happen. When the Lord is just laying something out before us and saying, I have bought this for you, it's bought and paid for, it is yours. But you're going to have to fight for it. You're going to have to stand. The devil is not going to be happy. He is. He's the one who's terrified that you'll get it. Why should we be surprised when he puts up a fight? That's all he can do, is to just put up every kind of opposition he can. He knows he's defeated. He's afraid we'll find out that we're the victors and find out how to fight and how to stand. And so Paul is talking about how we're able to fight. And a lot of this every bit of this has to do with what Christ has accomplished for us. The finished work of Christ is the foundation upon which we stand. If I'm going to have to face the devil based on anything in me, I've already lost. But everything, he's given me everything I need to do what? To stand. Having done all, to stand. Okay? And so we see, of course, that we're arrayed not against all this political stuff. There's a power behind everything that's going on in this world, and it's the kingdom of darkness. Therefore, is it 13? Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the evil day comes, not if, when it comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, okay, stand then with the belt of truth. What is truth? Where does it come from? Well, it's God's word. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. If it's wisdom, it does not come from him. We need to step back and say, wait a minute here. If it's contrary to what he says and what he has told us and instructed us in his word, you know, we got to step back and say, wait a minute. I don't go by that. I don't listen to that. That's a lie, devil. I don't have to listen to you. You could put that wrestling move on me, but I recognize it. That's your trick to get me in a weak place. And I'm not going for it. All right? We need to be full of this word. We need to know what is true and what is not. And God's going to teach, is very willing to teach us, isn't he? Praise God. All right? That's one of the things he's given to us. And of course, the breastplate of righteousness, folks, if we're not in a sense, we don't have a sense of I'm right with God, we're in a pretty weak place. If the devil is the accuser of the brothers and sisters, he is the one who accuses us. Well, what's he accusing us of? Yeah, anything he can, anything where we come short, anything that's lacking, any place where we haven't really completely overcome and grown up in the Lord, he is going to constantly point that out. And unless we really understand the ground upon which we stand, we're in a weak place. I don't stand because I am righteous and strong in myself and able. I stand because Jesus paid it all. Now again, that does not give me the liberty to do as I please because it's all taken care of. But it does give me the right to come and to bow down to him and say, Lord, I messed up, but you showed me my need. Lord, I confess it. I agree with you. This is not right. It's not what I want to be. But Lord, I bring it to the cross. The same blood. Oh, there's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Oh, what a promise we have, even as believers, in the process of serving the Lord, of being able to stand there and have the very righteousness of God applied to us. And the devil can accuse us all he wants, and we have the right to say, devil, I don't stand here based on my ability or anything in me. I stand here because I have been declared right in God's eyes, and you have no right to accuse me. I point you to the blood. I overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. In the word of the testimony, they were able to confess that. Folks, this is foundational to our being able to fight these battles that every one of us is called to fight. All right? Belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Again, The devil is going to do everything he can to say there's something between you and God. He's this and you're not, and you're that. And do I really, am I really right with God? Do I really have a state of peace? Or is there something that's dividing us and getting in the way? And I'll tell you, God wants to have us be in a place where that is a settled issue. He is our peace. He is our peace. When He comes in, there is a right relationship. We are in a state of peace with Him. There's no more war between us and God. We've surrendered. We've changed sides 100%. We're His. And He has cleansed us from everything. We have a right to say, devil, I stand upon what He did. That gives me peace. That brings me into a state of rightness with God and peace. Thank God. And of course, the shield of faith means, remember the war is one of faith, isn't it? It's a fight of faith. Well, I've got this shield that is able to protect me when Satan throws his ideas at me and all of his, whatever his weapon is. But what happens if I just stand there? No, I got a shield. I have the right to say, wait a minute, devil, I recognize that tactic. I have the right to block that. You can light it on fire and send it my way, but I can extinguish that. You have no right to say that. Praise God. Do we really lift it up, or do we get tired sometimes and say, oh, maybe it's really true. Maybe, poor me. It's gotten quiet. We all face those tactics, don't we? We've got quite a wrestling foe here. He's made a study of the human race. He's made a study of you. He knows every weakness that you have. And the Lord is allowing us to experience warfare so that we will learn how to fight. Praise God. He's faithful. He'll be with us in it. But we're going to have to recognize, learn how to be awake and alert, as Peter says. Be alert. Realize that you are in a field of battle. We're in a war zone. And we have an enemy who's going to be trying everything he can to get to us, to hinder us from laying hold of what the Lord has given us at the price of His death on the cross. Praise God. So we have every right to stand there and lift that shield of faith and say, wait a minute, devil, I recognize your tactic. That's a lie that's coming my way, and I extinguish it. It has no power over me. Wouldn't that be good if the Lord would help us to get... Well, it's good that He is helping us, let me put it that way. But we need to learn, don't we? And be more aware and alert for these things. I think the Lord would encourage us. He knows where we're at. There's no sense of condemnation in any of this, but there's a sense of, Lord, these are my sheep, these are my people. I want to help them. They're in a battle and need to know how to stand. Okay? And take the helmet of salvation. There again, you've got this sense of how I see the world, how I understand my mind. God needs to I need to let Him change my whole way of looking at life and me and my place in it, so that I can see through His eyes. I am one that He has pulled out of the fire, out of the prison. I am His now, and I'm not the devil's. And I'm going to think His thoughts and His way. I'm going to see things through His eyes. If we don't have that, what do we have? We got a vulnerability, don't we? But the Lord is there to help us. And of course, then we have the sword, don't we? This is where when the devil says something, we can say something right back. The confession of our faith is going to be, devil, you say this, but I say that. I'm going to say what God says, and you're just going to have to put up with it. It is written, as Jesus did. And even when the devil twists the word of God, as He did with Jesus, the Lord can give us a sense of what He's really saying and what it's really about. And we can stand there and say, devil, this is what God says. What did the devil do when Jesus kept persisting in that kind of a defense? He left Him for a season, didn't He? Praise God. I'm glad that there are times when we're at peace and there's a sense of rest and joy. God knows what we need. It's not a 24-hour-a-day battle kind of thing where there are times when we are fighting. There's times when we're battled, but there are times of rest in between. You know, the Lord knows exactly how to bring us through. And of course, prayer is central. He goes into that praying in the Spirit, looking to God. Always, everything that comes against us and against our stand in the Lord, we need to recognize this is an attack by the enemy. My wrestling enemy or my wrestling opponent is trying to get a hold on me so that he can subdue me. You know, by the way, isn't that what wrestling is about? How does a wrestling match end? Somebody is subdued. Somebody is pinned, is one of the expressions. And they're brought to a place where they can't escape. They're helpless. They're just, the other one totally has subdued them under their power. Praise God. God has given us the ability to do that to every devil that opposes us. And he longs to teach us step by step. I'm so glad he knows what to allow when. How many of you remember when the Lord led the people of Israel through the wilderness? There's one place, I don't remember exactly where it is, where the record says that he did not lead them by the way of the Philistines, even though that way was shorter. Why was that? They weren't ready. Do you know, if you and I experiencing a spiritual battle, one thing the Lord wants to bring to our attention is we're ready for that. That doesn't mean you will feel ready. Often we don't. But the reality is God would not allow that unless we are ready for that battle. Okay? And so he wants to use that to teach us and to train us and to make us more effective wrestlers or warriors or however you want to put it. Praise God. Of course, another thing is we don't always do so well in these battles, do we? And the example we've used so many times of Peter. Sometimes we've got to go into a situation and find out something about ourselves and our needs. And the only way we can do it is to mess up. Don't be discouraged. Don't be afraid. We have every right when we come to that place to bring that to him with an honest heart. And bring it to him, bring it to the cross and realize he saw that. He knew about that ahead of time. This didn't take him by surprise. The Lord knew Peter needed a lesson. He couldn't do it. His strength wasn't enough. And no matter how many times the Lord explained it to him, the only way he was going to learn it was to find out the hard way, and he did. But the Lord said, don't worry, I prayed for you. Your faith won't fail. Praise God. Praise God. I'll tell you, faith is a powerful, awesome thing that we need. It's a gift of God. It's an ability to trust in him regardless of what happens. I need that. I needed that last week. Anybody here? Anybody here had some battles? Anybody here had more of a battle after the Sunday service than you did before? Well, I won't ask for a show of hands, but I certainly did. But the Lord is faithful. And I believe the Lord wanted to lead into some of this. So the Lord knows exactly what we need and when we need it. Praise the Lord. And I thought about some scriptures that we're familiar with in Revelation chapters 2 and 3. I don't want to go through every detail, but these are the letters by Jesus, the risen Lord, to the churches, to seven of the churches. And one reason my mind, well, more than one reason, but one thing that every one of these churches had was a promise to overcomers. And an overcomer is one who subdues. That's part of the meaning of it. That's, you know, I'm in a wrestling match with you, but that wrestling match comes to an end and you're subdued. That's what God is looking for in every one of us, to give us the power to subdue whatever enemies come against us. Okay? And the thing that drew my attention to this was that you had every kind of circumstance you can think of. Different conditions, different people, and yet every one of them had something to overcome. Folks, as long as we are in this world, there will be things to overcome. Don't ever suppose that we're going to get to a place where it's just wonderful, smooth sailing in this life. Until our toes turn up, there will be things where we're going to have to trust God and stand in the face of the devil trying to push every button he can find, trying to try every wrestling move he can think of. Because he studied our weaknesses and he knows if I do this, they're going to react that way and then I can get a hold. Anybody here know what I'm talking about? You know certain characteristics of your own personality and certain things, ways that you react, and it takes you down a bad way when you react that way. You think maybe the Lord just might allow some of that so that we learn something from it and we grow. Absolutely. Praise God. So anyway, every single one of these churches, regardless of whether the condition of the church was good, bad, or indifferent, everyone was called to a life of overcoming. I'm looking, the Lord is saying, for people who will not only recognize an enemy, but subdue that enemy. And in every case, what it comes down to is a choice. Because the devil will come and oppress us in a certain way and try to make us make a wrong choice when the Lord wants us to make a right choice. I'm with him. I'm with Jesus. That's it. I don't care what you do, devil. I am irrevocably with Jesus. And I'm going to stand whatever it takes to say no to you. I'm going to say no. That's what the Lord is looking for. I'll tell you, if you've been born of his Spirit, you've got what it takes in you. That's central. Remember how John said, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, what? Even our faith. I'm thankful it's always looking upward, looking to all that he has provided. We have a Savior sitting there who says, I've given you everything. You're going to have to lay hold of it in battle. You're going to have to take hold of that virtue, of that blessing, that power, that place of usefulness. You're going to have to take hold of it against opposition. I'll be with you, but you're going to have to stand, and you're going to have the strength that I give you and use it. That's what I'm looking for. And so I don't want to dive too deep into these right now, because I'm emphasizing the one thing about the overcoming. And what does it say here? To him who is victorious, which is, it's just another translation of the same original word. But anyway, the first one, you had a church that we're familiar with, Ephesus. And there was a long list of good things that they were doing. And man, you just stop at a certain point and you'd say, wow, this is a model church. This is just awesome. This is great. Look at all the wonderful things they're doing. And he says, nonetheless, I have something against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you had at first. You did it first. There was a danger that church would lose its effectiveness. What was the problem? They had gone into auto drive or whatever. They were coasting. One of the dangers that we all fall into is reducing the things of God to the things that we can see and do. If I'm believing the right things, if I am doing the right things outwardly, that's it. I'm going to church. I'm a good person. I pray. I sing. I do all of those kinds of things, and everything is cool. I'm just believing the right doctrines. You know, you can make whatever the list consists of. We reduce the serving God down to the outward things that we can observe. And all of those things were good and they were right and they were proper, but God was looking down at their hearts and saying, wait a minute, you're coasting. You need to wake up. You're going to lose out. I wonder how many churches have been in that position. May God help us. I don't care if we believe and do the right things till doomsday outwardly. If we don't have something in here that's saying, God, I need you, Lord, take me further. You know, a lot of times the Lord will come and challenge us with the power of the gospel, or there's higher ground, or in some other way he's saying, there's stuff that you don't have yet and you need to lay hold of it. And the danger is that we'll say, I'm doing fine. I'm cool. My life is good. I'm doing all the right stuff. I believe the right things. God help us. If we're still here, there's still ground to take. And he never wants us to get to that complacent place that they occupied. And so the challenge to them, what did overcoming mean to them? It means the devil's been attacking you and causing you to associate serving God with all of these things that they're just fine. There's nothing wrong with them. But there's so much more, because it's a relationship, not a religion. We're going to have that personal touch with God and relationship with him and learning from him and seeking him and having our hearts on fire for him. And if that's not the case, I don't care what all you do, it'll look good, but that's not what I'm looking for. The God doesn't look on the outward appearance, he looks on the heart. So they had something they needed to overcome, didn't they? And of course, you come to the second church and it's almost the opposite. They were in a place of persecution. It was tough. The words of the first, okay. I know your afflictions and your poverty, and yet you are rich. I know about the slander of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not be afraid of what you are about to suffer. And he talks about the persecution that's coming and all of that. Be faithful unto death. That's what it meant for them. You know, that's the lot that God has given to certain people. It may be ours before it's over, where we're going to have to make a choice even to serve God if it means we die for it. Is he worth that? I'll tell you, if we are born of his spirit and we are totally united with him, this life has lost its value. We live here, we serve him, we honor him, we trust him. But this is a life we're willing to lay down as Christ laid down his life for us, because this is a temporary life. I've got something beyond this. Folks, if you don't have that in you. But you see, that's one of the attacks the enemy has against the Church of Christ in many places. If I can just persecute them enough, I'm going to get them to the place where they'll give up. What that does is cause people who don't have that on the inside to say, that's enough, I'm out of here. But it will strengthen and cause those who know him to dig deep and say, Lord, help me. And so the promise is to those who subdue this particular battle, this particular wrestling opponent. I don't care what you do, devil, I'm his. And so the promise is, that's what overcoming meant for them. All right? And you had another church where, was it Pergamum? I know where you live, where Satan has his throne, and yet you've been true to my name. You did not renounce your faith in me, not even the days of Antipas, my faithful witness, who was put to death in your city. So here's a people that had stood up to persecution. Sounds great. Unfortunately, the Lord had a few things to say about them. There are some among you who hold to the teaching of Balaam. And he goes through some false teaching here, and the essence of it basically was a spirit of compromise, where suddenly serving the Lord is not as serious when it comes to things like holiness and living right. You can serve God and, you know, have an immoral relationship. You can do this, you can do that. You can compromise with the world. It's not that serious. Besides, it's all taken care of. Whatever form it takes, and boy, the world is full of this. I was just reading an article the other day where a preacher was talking about a girl that he was trying to, she was in an immoral relationship. And he was trying to talk to her, and do you believe the Bible? Do you believe the Word of God? And showed her what the Word of God says. And basically it came down to, well, that's your opinion. God, we need the Word of God to govern everything. It's not a bunch of laws to keep, but it sure is a revelation of his character as he desires us to live for him, not be part of this world. The devil is going to compromise you in any way he can. Some of us through false teaching. There were people who actually had teachers who were seemingly making it okay, and somehow it was being allowed to linger in the church. God help us. God help us to take an uncompromising stand in the Spirit of Christ for what his word says. And so for these people, what did overcoming mean? It meant you don't put up with that. You're going to stand for the truth no matter what. And I'm sure they probably had to deal with it in the church itself. But whatever it is, we live in a world of compromise. That's one of the devil's tactics. Get you to kind of, well, it's not that serious. I can do this. I can do that. I can do a little bit. I can play with this and play with that. All you're doing is listening to the voice of the enemy who's going to put you in prison. God help us to stand fast. So overcoming, subduing the enemy is not giving in to that. Recognizing it for what it is and say, I'm not giving in. Well, you had a similar situation in a way in the next church. And well, the Lord said, I know your deeds, your love and faith, your service and perseverance. Boy, it sounds great. And that you are now doing more than you did at first. So that's just the opposite in a way of Ephesians. But they had a false prophetess who had somehow gained a certain standing in the church, but the stuff she was teaching was compromise. It was another form of compromise with the world and with the flesh. He knows your weakness. He knows your this and your that. It's okay. Oh, God, help us to take a stand. And the Lord promised that he was going to judge her. But it comes down to the end. Those of you who don't agree with her, I'm not going to give you any other requirement here, but hold fast to that which you have until I come. Boy, I'm so glad the Lord's coming. I'm so glad this, whether we pass first or whether he comes first, either way, this is not forever. But you see what overcoming means, what being victorious means. It means all the way to the end. What good is it if you go so far and then you run and you turn back and say, no, I give up. It's no good. I'm part of the world. I can't do this. Well, I can't either, but I can with the Lord. So overcoming had everything to do with a spirit that was going to stand against every form of the enemy's challenge. All right? And then there was promises to those who were victorious and overcoming. And you had a church that had a reputation for being alive. This is another form of a church that probably looked good from the outside. They were fundamental. They sang the right songs. They preached the right doctrines. And to anybody looking on who was judging by that standard, they looked good. But the Lord said, you got a reputation for being alive, but you're dead. And you need to wake up and you need to get straight here. I'm warning you. There was a warning from God that came from Jesus that came to that church. But anyway, let me come down to where. Yet you have a few people. I wonder how many churches this is true of. In our world today, you got people that are still preaching fundamental doctrines and truths and so forth. But yet you've got a remnant, don't you? So God's word is to that remnant. Yet you have a few people in Sardis, the place, who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white. They are worthy, the one who is victorious, and so forth. He makes the promise to those who are victorious. And I'll tell you, being victorious is more than, the hope of being victorious is not just, I'm going to grow here. I'm going to get more and more here. Boy, it goes all the way to the end. It goes all the way to eternity. We'll see that in a minute. Then you have Philadelphia. And this was the church where the Lord commended them in so many ways. I know your deeds that you have placed, and I placed before you an open door that no one can shut. You have a little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Sometimes that's the place we're in. We may not be spiritual giants, but we're hanging in there. We're looking to God. The devil is not overcoming and it's not turning us aside, turning us back. Oh, the Lord wants to encourage you this morning if that's where you're at. You feel weak. You feel like, I'm just not getting anywhere. But God wants to help us. And you know, you think about overcoming. It's more than just overcoming the stuff in here. It is that. And it's more than just so that I can be a certain kind of person. Remember, God wants every one of us to be in a certain place of service and influence in the world. So overcoming has to do with, can I really be effective? Can I bless my brothers? Can I be part of reaching out? The Lord has a will and a purpose that he's carrying out in the earth, and he wants me to be a part of that. The devil is going to be opposing everything in me, pulling on every string, every button, pushing every button to try to hinder me from being what I should be and from doing what he wants me to do. And so I need to be looking to the Lord and finding strength in him. So anyway, they're wonderful promises, but you see the place of people who are hanging in there. I'm coming soon, he says, hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. The one who is victorious, I'll make a pillar in the church and so forth. Okay? And of course, the last one we know from many times considering it is the Laodicean church. And they were just in a city that was prosperous. Life was good. Life was easy. And again, they had a form where they really didn't have anything that had a lot of substance underneath it. They were doing and saying the right things, but they didn't really have anything. And what the worst thing about it was, they were doing all this and Jesus wasn't even there. He was outside. How many times have we said this? He was outside knocking on the door to get in. Oh my God, I believe we've got a company of people here. At least a remnant who understand that we are nothing unless the Lord is here. We can hold all the doctrines correctly. We can get all of that right and live good lives and sing good songs. But if he's not absolutely present speaking. You know, one of the other things you see in every one of these churches was, listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Is saying. There's a present tense. Because when the Lord speaks, he doesn't send forth his word for no purpose. Remember Isaiah 55? The word that goes out of my mouth will accomplish the purpose for which I send it. There's a purpose in the Lord saying some of these things this morning. He means for it to make a difference in my life and yours. Because he loves us and he wants us to experience his victory. Praise the Lord. Those whom I love, he talks toward the end, I rebuke and chasten. So be earnest and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him. Praise God, these lights are getting into my eyes here. I can't even hardly read it. That's all right. But here's the one thing I want to get to. To the one who is victorious, the one who overcomes, the one who subdues, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne just as I was victorious and sat down with my Father on his throne. Praise God. The Lord's not calling us to do something he didn't do. He came here in a place of weakness. And he's here to help us today. To help us to be more awake. And I don't know where you are individually. I mean, there could be somebody here who's just, the devil compromised you. And the Lord wants to wake you up and say, wait a minute, living for me in this world is not just going along with the religious crowd and just not getting too deep into sin. God wants to purify a people for himself and use them. Only by his strength and his power will that happen. But the power of the gospel is real and God means to demonstrate it in our lives. But God help us to overcome and to be willing to recognize and be honest and repent where we need to. And others are coasting. If you're honest, and the Lord says, wait a minute, the battle's not over. Your life's not over. We need to recognize what's going on and be willing to look to him with all of our hearts. just wanted to read one more thing. I think would be more than enough. But look at Revelation 21. The judgment has happened. And destinies have been fixed at this point, looking forward. So at this point, we're still looking forward. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be there, be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who was seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." That's happening now. But what we're seeing is the end product of all of that. That's what overcoming has to do. It's being willing to serve him in this world, make the choices to align ourselves with him, whatever the attack is. This is where it's headed, folks. Praise God. All right? Making everything new. Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, it is done. See, the Lord's given us everything. And now he says, it's done. Do you think there's any doubt in what the Lord has done and what he's accomplished at the cross? Is there any doubt in the result for those who are truly cast their lot 100% with him? It's finished, he said, on the cross. It's done. Here's just another expression of the same thing, that finished work of Christ. All right? It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, which are the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet, basically saying I'm the A and the Z. The beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Now, listen to this. Those who are victorious, those who overcome, those who subdue the enemies, will inherit all this. And I will be their God, and they will be my children. And then he goes down, and the warning is to the rest. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magical arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake burning sulfur. This is the second death. Wow, you talk about two destinies. But God's call this morning through Jesus. Jesus says, "I paid it all. I've conquered everything. I hold the keys of death and hell. I sit on the throne. I am calling people to myself." You're going to have a life of spiritual warfare. Not every moment. But the devil is going to come against you with every trick he can think of. He's defeated. But you're going to have to recognize this and look to me and be willing to fight. Don't listen to voices of discouragement. Don't listen to voices of fear. Know where you stand because of what I did, not because of who you are and what you can do. I've given you everything. But I'll tell you, what I'm calling you to do is to stand fast and make the right choice to serve me all the way to the end. Don't worry, I'm in you and I'm with you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's why we've got to have him in us. This is not some external thing where we learn a religion and practice it. This is a new life and a new boss, if you will, who lives within and gives us everything we need. To him be glory. So I'll tell you, we are called to victory. We are called to overcoming, I guess, might be a better way to put it. We are called to be overcomers, is another way, I guess. But I'll tell you, we need the Lord, but we have him, don't we? And what he's begun, There's going to be a day when he will say, it is done, and it will be from the standpoint of time. It's over. Oh, praise God. I hasten the day. But in the meantime, we're going to have battles. We're going to fight off discouragement. We're going to fight off temptation. We're going to fight off a whole lot of things. But God has given us everything we need to stand and to be able to subdue that enemy that would attack us and take us down. And not only so that we can stand there and say, I'm an overcomer, but so that we can give our lives to him to help one another and to help others and to be part of the solution, not part of the problem. He's faithful, isn't he? Praise God. Has he given us everything? Yes. We need to fight the fight of faith and lay hold of it because he's faithful. Praise God.